Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here this morning in God's house of worship. This morning, the message titled Territorial Forces. Anybody who's done the lesson will have a bit of an idea what it's about. I'm just going to bow ahead and we'll just start with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being with us here. We just ask humbly that your Holy Spirit will come. Open our hearts and minds. May it flow through me. May I speak your words and not mine. May we leave as people more prepared for what is ahead and all about us. And may we have renewed strength in you to serve you till the end. In Jesus' name, amen. The Battle of Territories. It's the great controversy, isn't it? It's territory of our country, the territory of our community, the territory of our family, of our lives, our minds and our hearts. Brothers and sisters, it's a battle that rages all around us, before us. We can see it in the world around us, and we know it's inside of us. I'm praying and hoping today that what we talk about will help us more fully understand what's happening and be more prepared for the battle. I just want to start, and we're going to recover our Bible text for the day, but we'll just open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's only a short verse. And there it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And then we go to verse 26, which was our Bible reading for this morning. And it came down to that part where it says, "God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created the earth and gave it to man to be in control of, to have as their domain, their territory. If we turn to Psalms 115, verse 16, David wrote there in Psalms 115, verse 16, "And the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." So in the beginning, God gave man dominion over the world and everything in it. It was under man's control for the human race to take care of, nurture and enjoy. Mankind was created by God to be free moral agents with the power of choice to make everyday decisions as they set up their domain and planned how they wanted it to be. They were given the whole earth and it was under their control, except for one small part, one small place. So within their large domain, the enemy had access to one small part, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man was warned about the devil, God's arch enemy. And God came down and spoke with them and said, "Stay away from that place. Don't go near it. Don't touch it." But they weren't forced to stay away. They had a choice. because God made man a free moral agent. And Satan knew that God had given man dominion over the earth and that he couldn't take it away from them by force. So he waited in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he deceived mankind, like he did with the angels in heaven. He deceived the new human family, and by that deception, he transferred their authority over this earth to himself. Eve wandered alone close enough to the forbidden tree. We know the rest. The devil, by his lying, deceitful tongue, obtained that dominion over the world. He cheated mankind out of their domain and became the ruler of this world. Satan even gloated over it to Jesus when Jesus was fasting in the wilderness. He used it as one of the temptations. If you turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. We find there, "And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will.'" Jesus acknowledged that the devil was the temporary ruler over this earth. In John 12:31, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." God disputes the devil's claim to ownership. He did not get it legally. He tricked the owners into transferring the ownership to him. And by not believing God's word, by default, they gave their authority to the deceiver. Friends, if we look around in the world today, it's just like a lot of people today, isn't it? Without even realizing it, many give allegiance to the devil just by not acknowledging God as the ruler of all things. It's pretty sad, isn't it? When we look out in the world around us, even in our families, there's so many who've been deceived by the devil and don't give God his true worship. But hope is still given. It states that the ruler will be cast out. After all this happened, God gave mankind another chance to choose and accept God as their king, to allow God to control their lives. In Genesis 3:15, we can read there, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring." God gave mankind hope right at the time of their greatest need. As soon as they'd made the fatal mistake of believing in the devil. But when a person chooses to give God control of their life, the devil hates them. He wants to bring them undone. We can see an example of that in the story of Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, there was a meeting in heaven and the devil was there. And the Lord said to Satan at the time, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." By Job's actions, he gave moral authority to God, not Satan. Although the earth was now under Satan's control, Job still had the power of choice to serve God, and he chose to use that to give God the authority over his life and family. God was saying to the devil, You may have the earth, but I still have a foothold in the earth through my servant Job. And he still has, by people like us here today who serve him, who want him to rule supreme in their life. Through that, God has access to this earth. There's hope still for this earth. The supreme warriors promised right at the beginning to help fight the war against evil. In Genesis 3:15, and we mentioned that in the lesson this morning, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. A warrior had come through the woman's body to fight Satan. Jesus, the mighty warrior, was wounded in the fight, but the devil was conquered. The devil's a defeated foe, friends. But now the fight is over territories. And for now it still rages on. It's the fight over the dominion of this world. And in this fight, both the devil and God have organized forces. We can see an example of these organized forces in the story of Daniel. Daniel had had a vision, and he was troubled over it. He couldn't understand it, so he prayed for God to explain it to him. For 3 weeks he prayed. It was 3 weeks before he got an answer from God. And if you look in Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, that's Daniel 10, 11 to 13. I'll just give you a moment to get there. Daniel 10, 11 to 13. I've got to get there myself now. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand these words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken these words to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. The demon controlling the territory of Babylon where Daniel was living would not let the angel through to come and explain to Daniel. The angel fought for 21 days for access until Michael, which is another name for Jesus, came to help him. Notice that the access was only given to Daniel through prayer. Friends, I want to tell you today, prayer has a great part to play in this war. Through intercessory prayer, God can get access to areas in this world that he'd not otherwise be able to. Do you ever stop and think about that? God doesn't force himself anywhere. But if you pray that God goes there, he has a right to be there through your prayer. Your prayers can give access to God to places where people can't go. Remember the power of prayer. The devil's got a highly organized team. It's not a ragtag, slapped together group. His pride won't let him go down in a little heap. He'll fight until the very end. We know the price that Jesus paid to save people on this earth. And the devil's not happy with it. To get back at Jesus, he wants to destroy as many lives as possible. Look around us. Look at the effects of drugs, alcohol, media. Look at how many young people are losing hope. Have a look at the statistics of suicide. People have lost hope, all hope. But it's our job, friends, to tell people that the devil's a defeated enemy. Because at the cross, Jesus made the devil's destiny final. Eternal destruction and loss of his domain. Jesus won the battle, not with force or power, but by love. If you open your Bibles to John 12, 31 and 32, he says, Jesus speaking here says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Brothers and sisters, love and selfishness stood face to face at the cross. Love won. Praise the Lord. Love won. You're awfully quiet. Is there an amen out there somewhere when love won? Thank you. Thank you. I want to know that you're hearing this message. I'm not just talking to that beautiful glasswork at the back. You know, it's amazing when we look around at what is happening today in our governments, around the world, in our communities, how much sway the devil has. And it just brings home how important it is to realise what's happening, how close we are to Jesus coming. Jesus is now reclaiming territories taken by Satan through his love, territories in towns, families, in individuals, if they choose him. And we, as Christ Church, have a large part to play in this great war. Because when Jesus left earth to go back to heaven after his death and resurrection, he gave a specific promise and instructions in Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Once again, Jesus has conquered the deceiver and all authority has been given back to him. And now he is giving that powerful authority to us as his people to reclaim territory that's been taken by Satan. As his followers, to share the good news of salvation, to pray for the people on this planet, in this country, in each state of this country, in this city, in your neighbourhood, in your family. Satan's dominion is crumbling through the power of Jesus Christ, bit by bit, heart by heart, family by family, community by community, breaking down the walls of prejudice, the strongholds of traditions, and the long-held deceptions, and the war continues. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. This is really important for us to remember in everyday life, because we get so caught up in what we see around us, in our face, on television, on Facebook, whatever you want to look at. We get so caught up. We think it's real because it's in our face. But the truth is, in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Is that easy? No, it's not. It's not easy. But it's possible through Jesus Christ. Every battle in the war between good and evil is a battle of choice, brothers and sisters. Who will you choose to reign over your territory, over your life, over your family, your community? It's time that we soldiered up, because the fight is harsh and it's only just starting to warm up. The devil knows Jesus is coming soon and his time is short. And when Jesus comes, the war will be over. Every choice will have been made. In Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We all need to remember, after the battle is over, whose will the dominion be? What's it called? A restoration. It will be restored completely. In Micah 4, verse 8, and you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. The former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. At the end of time, after 1,000 years in heaven, the earth becomes God's home. In Revelation 21, 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And if you go down to verses 22 and 23 in the same chapter, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun nor moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Friends, the meek inherit the earth. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And in Psalms 37, 11, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. When the war ends, eternity begins. There's no more pain, no more fear, no more sickness, no more death, no separation, and praise God, no more sin, ever. Like in our children's story, though, we need to know the sound, the voice of our shepherd. Because in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, brothers and sisters, it's by the choices that we make and the prayers that we pray that we allow God's forces to be our guardian, to take care of us, or it's our choices that stops him from having access to us and leaves us under Satan's control, whether we like it or not. The big question is, who holds the territory of your heart today? Take a while to think about it. Who's the shepherd of your life today? Do you know his voice? Are you willing to follow him, no matter what it takes? It's your choice, and your choice alone. I'd like to make a small appeal today, because I really believe that we're very close to Jesus coming. So if there's anyone here today that's maybe never taken the step, that they want to stand for Jesus, that's touched by the Holy Spirit today, that wants to take that stand, to give him complete, your heart complete, to give him the territory of your mind, and that you'd like to become a soldier in his army today. If there's somebody here today, would you please stand up that would like to take that stand? If you've never taken it before, take it now, because time is short. Don't wait. If the Spirit of God talks to you today, listen to it. And also, if there's anybody here today who may have had made that decision some time ago, sometime in the past, but feel they haven't held truly firm to that commitment to follow God with their whole life, and you'd like to renew that commitment today, please stand. If there's anybody who would like to renew that commitment today, I have a verse here. It says, the eyes of the Lord, it's in Psalms 34, 17 to 22. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises that you will be with us no matter what comes. Dear Lord, strengthen us for the time ahead. Strengthen each one here. And dear Lord, may your angels have access to every family that's represented here, no matter where they are. And also, dear Lord, may they go forth in this country, touch hearts and minds, dear Lord, in each state and in our community. Dear Lord, may we be living witnesses of you, that when you come in the clouds of glory, many more souls might say, this is our God for whom we have waited, and praise your name. Bless us now, we ask humbly. In Jesus' name, amen.